Brad Pitt's been in the news lately. I guess you could say he's got a lot of friends, and I guess you could say they're his pit crew.
Oh, this pit, it's a pit crew. Yeah, that's pretty fun.
You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Good news, everyone.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome.
And welcome to the world.
Welcome to the world
tomorrow.
Of tomorrow. It's me, Jimmy the Chin.
Is Jimmy the Chin, your signal does not seem great. It says recording continues smoothly, live video will return when the internet improves. Can you hear me, Jimmy?
Well, I'm reporting here from Long Island. We're out at the vacation home, me and Gloria. And I thought I'd pull a little double duty and help Willie intro the show today.
Well, that sounds lovely. How have things been, Jimmy?
You know what, Daniel? They've been so good. I can't even believe it. The summer wrapped up so nicely over here. And we get in the fall colors. You know I love the upstate fall colors.
And, upstate fall colors.
The parade this summer went so well. This is what my That's second right. year as a safety inspector. After
That's right.
my mama,
and I heard they made you grand marshal this year because
my mama,
of your mother.
God rest her zombie bones. She is toast. but you know, it's a family tradition. Toast. I took it over, and yes, you're right. I did. I became the grand marshal. I buried the lead there, and so they give me a little staff and a hat, and I sort of march at the front of it. But I do wear my safety inspector vest at the same time, so I'm. You know, I'm pulling double duty with that too. You know, my
it goes under the sash.
Gloria, exactly. Gloria mm-hmm. told me, mm-hmm. "You're pulling so much double duty, you might belong in the bathroom."
That's a lot of number
Gloria,
two duties.
I said, Gloria, the last time you made a joke that dirty, we was at the carnival in 1988.
So 35 years ago.
Hey, don't age me.
How long have you and Gloria been together?
About 40 years.
Where'd you meet?
40 years.
Where'd you meet?
We met at a boardwalk. I saw her and I said, that's one sexy lady. And then that sexy lady moved out of the way and it was a giant armpit. And I was like, whoa. and that was Gloria. And she was so charismatic. She came up to me. She said, your chin is just everything. And no one had ever talked to me like that before. No one had ever looked at me like that before. And I thought, this is the woman I'm going to marry.
This is the one.
And me and Gloria, we've been attached at the hip ever since.
Or at the chin.
Okay, I see what you did there, though. But her chin is normal size.
Well, your chin isn't, but so when you kiss, you're attached to the chin, was my thought.
Okay, true. But, you know, just like with a lot of other things, I've learned how to deal with it. It's not like I'm constantly bumping into walls. I sort of can move my head around. And but, yeah, I do have to kind of go at an angle to make the chin not
right.
stab her body, which, as you know, is mostly armpit.
Right. That's right. I forgot she was mostly armpit. That's right. And what are your kids? Remind me about your kids. Do you have any kids? I can't remember.
We've got three kids. We've got two sons and a daughter. We've got Tony okay. Jr.
TJ.
No, we just call him Tony Jr. And
okay.
then
TJ's kind of cute for a kid.
Yeah, but he's like grown now, so he don't really want to be called TJ no more.
Okay.
It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing, Daniel. I won't go into it.
Okay, don't go into it.
And then we've got Melissa. Oh, I love Melissa. She's my little baby. You know, she's
okay.
a construction worker now. And
is she?
She went from being the crane operator to being the crane. That's how strong she is.
Wow. Okay. I'm getting some Susan Strong vibes.
It's a lot like Susan Strong, but with a higher IQ. Susan Strong kind of gives off dumb vibes. Melissa is
okay,
very, very smart. She graduated top of her class at Construction University.
construction go.
Wait, CU is a great school. Go. You in the building. go bricks.
Go. I was going to say, go forklifts.
No, that's at Warehouse College. That's the mascot of Warehouse College. They are rivals, okay. But actually now CU is in a different division. It's a long story. And then last but certainly not least is Tony Junior Jr., and he is the smallest of them. Strangely, though, he is the oldest. I don't know how he got there. But that's the way it is, and sometimes that's the way life shakes out. So, but I love my kids. They're all out of the house now, but I love them.
And what's the age, oldest to youngest? We're talking like 30s, 40s, 50s?
Let's see. The oldest is Tony Jr. Jr. is 28. Then we got Melissa is 25, and then Tony Jr. is 23.
Okay. Oh, wow. So you guys had like – the planets had to align for you guys to make love, like exactly 2 years apart each.
Well, it's not like they were born on the same day 2 years apart.
I thought they were.
No, why would you think that?
Because one of them was a leap year.
Huh?
Leap day? Don't you know Leap Dave Williams? I thought we had some kind of leap year thing going on, or am I mistaken?
Leap Day Williams, that's an old New York thing, and it's not real. He's an imaginary guy. He's like the Tooth Fairy.
Leap Dave Williams was part of the summer parade. I know that for an absolute fact. And he threw out candy to all the crying children.
That's an urban legend. That's an urban legend.
Don't you remember that song? Leap Dave Williams, Leap Dave Williams, candy for the kids.
Daniel, I think what you're doing is you're confusing the TV show 30 Rock with real life. That's not the first time you've done that.
TV is real life. My therapist told me how healthy that is. I have so many friends from so many different realms.
Hey, look, I will say this to your credit. If anyone ever tells you that a parasocial relationship is only one-sided, they're wrong. Because those actors love you. Don't you always hear they say, love you. I couldn't do it without my fans.
Right. And the fans are the first thing they thank. And they mean you. They don't mean everyone else. They mean just you when they say that.
And they're talking about you. They're talking directly to you. They look into the camera and they know the camera is pointed at your TV.
Right. It's like when any politician or any president says the American people, they really just mean the American person. And it's all about you and what you feel.
It's you.
Exactly. It's you. You're the only one who matters in this world.
You're the only one. Daniel, you are the most special podcast host I've ever met. Okay.
I told you were special.
You're the most special podcast host I've ever met. And, you know, I can't tell we get along. You understood my sad, tragic story about my mother. And
falling into a large toaster. That was fully functioning.
It was fully functioning. And, you know, that's never happened again, not on my watch.
That's exactly right.
Sometimes you got to change the rules to make the world a better place. And that's exactly the philosophy I take on the Little Italy parade.
So before you go, because I know we got to get into the show, but can you tell us a little bit more about some of the safer floats? Because we nixed the fully functioning toaster float.
Right.
Can you tell us any more of the other, like your favorite highlights of floats or some that were perhaps also fully functioning?
Yeah, sure.
But
so
maybe safer.
So, well, first of all, let me just say this. It wasn't just that it was a fully functioning toaster float. It was also that it was immediately after – no, it was immediately before the full bathtub float. So you can imagine that, you know, if either of those two bump into each other, we're going to have
a problem.
That's
bad news bears.
We're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so mm-hmm. the bathtub float was moved back. That one's now surrounded by the rubber ducky float. And the bar of soap float, okay.
Oh, good. Okay. And does the soap lather and does the duck squeak?
They do. Year the duck squeaker. He's a friend of mine named Kenny. He was actually out of commission. He got COVID, so he couldn't be doing the quacking. So we had to have a different guy. I think his name was Benny. And let's just say Benny is not as good of a quack as Kenny. And no, I'm not talking about going to the loony bin. Although Kenny's got some out there ideas, that's for sure.
He's just a little he's a little off, you know. He's digging the dirt.
He's let's just say he's off the green. You know what I mean? He's not on the fairway. He's in the rough. And
a little rough around the edges.
We've got because we also have Morty's baby proofing business. He's a local guy, so he has a flow. It's a bunch of like silicone corner wraps for tables and stuff, and it doesn't necessarily translate great as a float, but you know, he's been a part of the community. We like to support local businesses in Little Italy, so there's that one.
Exactly. And I think there was one float that was, and I can't remember what business it was, but I think it was refrigerated or stored, cold stored teeth.
Oh, Terrible Tony's Tooth Locker. Yes. He has always had grade A safety.
Different Tony from Tony Jr. and Tony Jr. Jr.
Of course, no relation.
Right.
Terrible Tony is – I gotta hand it to him. He is one of the safest guys I've ever met. And the thing is, I don't know if you knew this about him and his business. The teeth are ice cold. They keep it refrigerated, Daniel.
So gross. Always gross me out so much.
So if you need teeth, they're ice cold exactly how you need them. Anyway, the tooth locker flow is becoming a favorite of a lot of people.
Okay.
Terrible Tony, it's sort of a joke, right? Because he's actually a really nice guy. So it's weird that mm-hmm. he's called Terrible Tony. But, you know, some things stick and now we enjoy the irony of it.
Absolutely, right. It's like mafia names. Like, you know, how they have like
No.
Billy.
We don't say that word.
And he's like huge.
We don't say that word.
All I said was coffee, huh?
Exactly. Names. And we're talking about coffee, right? And
Starbucks?
And listen.
Dunkin'? Oh, sorry. Dunkin', where you guys are.
Well, I'm actually partial to Starbucks over Dunkin'. But I was visiting California. I had Pete's. So good. It's so good.
More like feet's.
You know what? I'm thinking of Phil's, actually. I like Phil's. The P always confuses me.
Phil's. I always get those two confused, too. I always conflate the two.
Pete's, Phil's, whatever. And they both have brown in their color schemes.
Boff. Puke. You know?
I'm like, it's the color of coffee. And you guys both serve coffee. Okay, whatever. At least Starbucks is green and Dunkin's like orange and pink or whatever. But
have a brand.
Yeah, have a brand. And anyway, Phil's has this one I like a lot. It's called Silken Splendor. It's smooth.
I don't know that one.
Good. Anyway, I haven't had a cup of Joe like that in a long time because Gloria and I haven't been out to California for a while. So
you'll have to come back and visit next time. Well, we've enjoyed you visiting the podcast. We always do. I was actually just thinking this morning how long it's been since I've talked to you.
It's been too long, and it's been great to catch up. And why don't I help Willie out? He'll come back on in a second. And right now, I'll introduce for you guys a little something that you guys like to call.
Good news, everyone.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Jimmy the Chin with the introduction of good news. Should I start out things out, Jimmy?
Go for it. This is all you, Petey.
Okay. Well, I have some good news, which I think is perhaps not nearly as good news of Willie's, perhaps even like the exact same thing, but different in a certain way that it's more minuscule. But I just got our nuke.
Okay. I know I already accept the fact that you're going to burp. I know you're going to burp, but then doing the breath afterwards is just insult to injury. You're really salting the wound on that one.
Jimmy died immediately.
Jimmy had to fucking go after that.
I'm sorry. It's been a long time since I've had a very good surprise.
I wasn't surprised I saw that coming. You telegraphed that. It was all over your face.
Wait, I have the perfect word for it. Erumpent.
That is the perfect word.
Erumpent, bursting forth, adjective. Erumpent, which makes me think of trumpet, but also makes me think of eructar, which is to burp, which is such a perfect verb in Spanish. Eructar, like eruption.
I erupted.
So I love that verb. Anyways, so I got a new kitchen. It's almost all done. They need to come in and drink water tomorrow, but everything's in place. It's actually going to be functioning. We can actually cook.
And the whole kitchen's edible.
And it's a Willy Wonka kitchen. The schnozberries taste like schnozberries. It is unbelievable.
God, because nothing is a bigger pet peeve is when the schnozberries do not taste like schnozberries.
When the schnozberries taste like scrawsberries? No, ugh, thank you,
Pucatronic.
Pucatronic. I don't like the black ones. I don't. Black jelly beans.
Coffee mix.
Oh, this, almond. This is almond. Also, if you haven't, go and look up the cookie commercial Fred Armisen SNL. Phenomenal sketch. Absolutely hilarious.
It's one of our favorites.
Those are laxatives from the Dolca Lax Corporation. Where's the bathroom? Okay, just two more. yeah, so we're finally done with our kitchen, and I'm so excited, and I'm going to cook in it tomorrow. Hopefully they put our water on. It was supposed to happen today, so I need to call the contractor and be like, yo, get your patoot over here.
You need the H2O, bitch.
Yeah, I can't keep drinking sink water from the bathroom like some kind of monster.
I am not a monster.
A monster. I drink water from the kitchen sink. Elephant Man, a classic.
And that is my favorite line from Elephant Man.
It's also the only line that I know. Anyways, so yeah, that's my good news. How about you, Mayoy? Should we get a drum roll? I feel like we should have a drum roll for this. Pee-pee. This is like the biggest news.
You're frozen on me.
Can you hear
now
me now?
No, I can't.
I said we should. I'm just going to start singing until.
Okay, that's actually not a bad idea.
That's a good, yeah. Okay, shut up.
Okay, stop singing.
I think we should have a drum roll for yours. I think if.
Okay, let me
if,
just.
If there's any good news, like big news in someone's
this
life,
is it.
I think this is something that, yeah, exactly.
We bought a house.
We bought a zoo. Wait, a house? I thought it was a zoo.
God damn it, Brian. We needed a house, not a zoo.
A zoo.
Now there's not going to be a roof over our heads, but there's going to be a roof over a bunch of animals' heads.
But there's giraffes and rhinos. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow. Shane, here's the thing. I wish I could do it. Oh, that's so good.
I can't really either. It's okay. It's like, but congratulations, you motherfucker. Yay.
The boy who lived. Ka-chow. Thank you so much.
Come to die.
We are really thrilled, and we are in the process of closing. So everybody cross your fingers and toes that nothing goes wrong.
Yes. Let's just hope this escrow doesn't turn to escrote, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. Let's just hope that our down payment doesn't become a
– our comeuppance.
Ground payment.
I think the comeuppance was up, you know, down, up.
Here's one. Let's just hope our down payment isn't actually a clown payment in which we are the fools.
Let's just hope that home inspection isn't a poor reflection. You know what I mean? These are getting so bad.
Let's just hope that the homeowner's insurance isn't actually tome owner's insurance.
Tome boner's insurance.
Yes, thank you.
Boner is the antiquated word or noun as a mistake, not as an actual arrest.
I've made quite a boner. Oh, dear. I've made quite a boner.
Let's just hope it's a roof over our heads.
Not a tooth under our beds.
Oh, I was going to say, making our eyes red.
With anger.
For the sooth of anger. Dude, that's fucking amazing news. I'm so excited for you. Are you guys going to get a car and a dog?
Eventually.
And be like,
no.
A white picket fence family? And like, you're going to be like, all right, Nancy, take the
pre-workout. Time to go be the milkman.
For a picnic on Saturday. And impregnate every woman on the block.
Right. I think we'll wait a bit before we get a car, but eventually we'll get one. And
oh my gosh.
But
you know who to call besides the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, honestly though, I will enlist you for that.
I would be glad to help.
We're just really excited. It's a beautiful home. We're going to be moving to Sacktown. So if any listeners are familiar with Sacktown, give us some pointers and tips.
It's where all burlap sacks in the entire United States are made. It's not Sacramento. It's outside. It's different.
It's different. And it's a...
It's actually six times the population of L.A.
And it's all bag. It's all burlap it's bag all, makers.
Exactly. Yes. It is literally the reason that the burlap industry is to... What is burlap made out of?
Urlap.
Oh, actually, I knew this. It's made... Burlap is... So this is actually kind of surprising.
Hemp?
Burlap is made out of feathers because it's from birds' laps. Mm-hmm. So it's bird lap. Bird sacks. Lap. It's just really misunderstood the pronunciation.
Sack. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
bird laps. Yeah. Tickle myself on that one. So congratulations.
The bigger the bird, the bigger the lap.
That is true. Can you imagine a burlap sack that was like yellow and feathery, like Big Bird,
like Big
and like
Bird.
Orange at the bottom? Because technically, your lap is also your legs.
That's true, but is it? It's only at your lap when your legs are horizontal.
Riddle: do you have a lap when you stand up?
Mm-mm. That's what I was going to ask you scientifically. At what angle does it become legs, and at what angle does it become a lap?
Oh. Like if you're doing wall squats, and you have to be on a chair. If you're just squatting down, is that a lap?
If you're sitting really on the ground, I would consider that a lap with your legs out straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lap.
Oh, that is true. But you have to be sitting on something. Like the squatting ground. Is no lap. Right. Ground, chair.
Okay. That's also an interesting scientific question. If you're squatting and you have your legs together, let's say you're doing sort of a kneel, right, where you're kind of sitting on your – perched on your toes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your legs bent and you've formed a lap, but you're technically not sitting because your butt's not on the ground or on anything. Is that a lap?
No, you have to be sitting on something. You have to be able to use it for something, like a plate of food at a barbecue where
right,
there's
like,
not enough tables.
Let's say there's like a toddler, like your niece or nephew, and you're sort of kneeling down and then they come and run and they sort of jump onto your legs at that point. Would it be a lap?
No, that's legs, not lap.
Okay.
As someone who has had toddlers in various, pretty much any type of contortion in a bouncy house after they have been hyped up on sugar, my little nephews, no, there was no lap sitting. It was just, can
there's
we
a
abuse
lot of, like,
Uncle Daniel and get him to throw us
shots
again?
On accident. I feel like that's what that. Yes. Like, ow!
It's definitely cup worthy to be around toddlers in a bounce house. Yes.
They do crawl all over you, not knowing that the middle of your body is extra sensitive.
Right, exactly.
And my junk is in the exact middle of me. Exactly.
Right. I do not have a navel. The part between my navel and my nipples, it's right where my junk is.
If I was in space, like, you know, zero G's, and you spun me, I would. My center of mass is right at my groin, so I'd sort of spin around my balls.
Right, exactly. And that's the only way you can,
that's
you
the
can
way
get
you
someone could, pregnant.
That's it.
Oh, we learned spinning. That in middle school.
You have to be spinning.
To be spun like a top. It has to be inception, spun like a top until you can get someone pregnant. Did you guys not learn that? We learned that.
Anyways, now, the person who did teach us sex ed did look like a guy who just came right off the street.
Harm?
No, I'm talking about Mr. Gibbons.
Who in the
Don't
fuck?
Don't you remember
is Mr.
Gibbons?
Gibbons?
He was like 7.5 feet tall. He wore a trench coat. His face was dirty all the time. His beard was long. He'd always say, "Get over here, I'm Mr. Gibbons." And we'd be like, "Mr. Gibbons, it's not eighth period yet. It's not time for sex ed."
And he'd be like, "Come sit on my lap. I'm going to teach you about wieners."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, that was my least favorite unit of anything.
That was my absolute favorite unit of all the units we had.
Aside from my own unit.
It's so funny. Aside from my own unit. And it's so funny that he, you know, he thought he had a calling in life earlier, but he changed careers so quickly from the priesthood. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's funny. It's also weird how he thought he had a calling in life and then he lost his phone.
Okay, all right. On with the episode.
Okay. All right, we are not doing great on our tight 45. Okay, so
I know. We're gonna do it.
So today we are covering season 5, episode 15, and this might be a
Bender.
Well, I was gonna say this is one of the longest episode titles. Bender should not be allowed on TV. Is the name of the episode
on television? Even longer. Bender should not be allowed on television.
Yeah, that takes up even more space.
That's like an extra 8 characters. Yeah. But it is a good episode. We get some good Zoidy.
It's a great
episode.
We get
some good Futurama crew. It's Bender-centric, which is like – this is like the 4th or 5th Bender-centric one we've had for a while.
But I would say it's one of the top Bender-centric ones.
It is a really good one. We get Dwight and Q-Bert, who are just fun little miscreants.
The children.
Yeah. The children. And
Ross H. Tafari.
Ross H. Tafari. Yeah, that was a good one too. But also we get a lot of like really good Kalki too.
The Kalkulon like lines in this characters. One are legendary.
Yes, these are really good Kalkis, which I think will be taking us out today. Excuse me.
Thanks, Dave.
Where's this going?
Did you like that one?
I did. I was like, what?
What is happening?
You were literally the actor who plays Antonio going like, scrambled brains. Which is exactly how the series starts out. So it's like basically the All My Circuits crew, and it shows everyone having amnesia. Dwight and Q-Bert are watching the series, basically just like soaking up everything that's happening on TV like little sponges, as well as watching it with the rest of the crew. And they're in a hot tub full of champagne, which I loved. I was like, that would be fucking disgusting, like effervescing hot champagne that's sticky.
Oh,
like,
God, you're right.
You're just begging for so many different infections.
Not to mention it would absorb the alcohol through your skin.
Right, exactly. And you'd be like, absolutely. And it's super hot, so it would absorb quicker, I'm guessing.
Yes, I think you're right.
Basically, Antonio skydives down into their hot tub of champagne. Is like, I have something to tell you, but be warned, for it's something that's so terrifying and so life
altering. Like, so shocking.
So shocking, yeah. It might give you a bout of explosive amnesia.
At this point, they've already had a scene where Kalkulon is like with a room full of people, and he's like, so which one of you does not, do any of you actually not have amnesia? And everyone's like, I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah, like, dun, dun, dun. So then the actor goes basically haywire, and they have to find a new actor for Antonio. The boys, meanwhile, are looking into having a birthday party for themselves. Turns out Q-Bert doesn't have a birthday. He has a growth scraping day.
Yeah, because since he's a clone.
Exactly, since he's a clone. And so they end up having a joint birthday party to write it off as a tax write-off.
Classic Hermes.
Like, I love that.
Yeah, I love the way he goes. Yeah, he's like, if only there was a way to combine these two into a single party and have it at the office so that we could write it off as on our taxes. He's like, wait, I have an idea. I'll just do exactly what I just said.
Yeah, exactly. So they end up having a gross scraping day / birthday party. They're waiting for everyone to show up because they think they're cool, and they realize that they're not because no one comes except for Tinny Tim. And he's like, what's he say? Oh, good day, my chums or gentle chums. Somebody dropped this invitation in my begging cup. Happy growth scraping day to all.
And they're like,
which I love that he always has like these like medieval like gentle knave, and he's like, hello, gentle jerkwads. My good jerkwads.
Yeah, later when he refers to the professor, once they begin their rebellious streak, he refers to the talking to the professor and Hermes. He's like, hello, gentle jerkwads.
Hello, gentle jerkwads. Yes,
my good
that.
Jerkwads. So yeah, so they're trying to replace the actor who plays Antonio Kalkulon Jr. And Bender basically decides that he's going to go audition for it, even though he's not a child robot actor. And I love the scene where he's in the waiting room and there's like Macaulay Culkin.
Culkin.
And the Leela's like, he hasn't been the same since he got puberty installed.
He's got like a bunch of lights on his face that are all
that
red.
Are like acne. Like, robot
yeah,
acne.
Yeah, so gross.
But then
– And so
– Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you.
Meet him.
So
the
auditions start and Bender keeps on yelling from the hallway like, boo, we want Bender. This guy stinks. Bender's great. And I love every time Calculon's like, well, I thought this guy did a great job, but the audience hated him. And then so he's like, wow, that's 90 auditions and the audience hated all of them. I just wish we could see this Bender fellow. He seems great. And he's just repeating everything that Bender's been yelling from outside the room.
Right, exactly. And so finally Bender gets up to go into the audition. He's like, oh, it's a Spanish character you want, huh? Perfect. Like, I'm Mexican. He's like, adios, padre, chihuahua.
Yeah.
He's like, that's the worst acting I've ever seen. And the crew goes up and they're like, yay, Bender. We love Bender. And Calculon says,
this is one of my favorite lines.
So terrible. I think it gave me cancer.
I love that line.
And he's like, you will absolutely never work in this town. And then the crew cheers and he goes, having said that, you've got the job.
Yeah, I love how like dumb Calculon is in this episode. Like he's just so gullible to the people yelling and like the whole, just the idea of like mass appeal, basically. Completely swayed.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good line. But he's just, he's such a dolt. So Bender basically gets on television and he has to be in a coma. He does the worst coma acting he has ever seen because he gets up and he's like, I got ants in my butt and I likes to strut.
And then I love that like, Calculon says, I'm not familiar with the type of thing I'm seeing.
I knew you love that line. I'm not familiar with the type of thing I'm seeing. So
it's just him like dancing on a table, smoking a cigar and drinking a beer.
With his head spinning and doing 360s. And he's like, that is the absolute worst coma acting I've ever seen. So they go to the network execubots, which I fucking love the execubots
so
because the best one is Gamma, who's like the one who's programmed to
underestimate,
middle America. Yeah. And she's like – And she's like, basically everyone's like, that's great. It'll get good responses. And she's like, it will play in Peoria. Which is so good. I think I used to say that more frequently than I do now.
It's
adding
so
that back to my repertoire. But yeah, so the network execubots love him. Bender basically becomes famous. The head of the network is like, we need more Bender. We need him crass. And we need him to like basically do all these terrible things. And we get a nice montage of Bender, like, lighting himself on fire on top of a keg. And he's like, hey, kids at home, go do this.
Yeah, it's like,
at the bottom of the screen. It's like, do not do this, kids at home.
And I love, like, during that montage, it's also a montage of Cuber and Dwight, like, basically just copying everything he does. So they're slowly going into degeneracy. And the song that's playing is, like, a made-up song that's, like, we're going to have a TV party tonight. It's sort of like a rock and roll
anthem. It's like
anthem.
Beastie Boys-esque.
Yeah, it's sort of like a rock and roll anthem-y type of thing. It's so good.
Are you sure it's made up? I feel like that could totally be a random Beastie Boys song. And they love
I think the Beastie Boys probably just recorded it because aren't they at the beginning of the thing? Isn't this the one where they have the Beastie Boys
do the
intro song?
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. That was a really bad rendition. Chillin', villain,
looking like a
and smellin'.
Shout out to Colin.
Shout out to Colin.
Guest and friend of the show.
Yes, guest of the pod, friend of the pod. Bender basically has this meteoric rise to fame. Cubert and Dwight basically start taking after him and doing everything that he does. And they end up having a party, which you can see behind me.
Including stealing all of Bender's stuff.
Oh, that's right.
I love when
they
break into Fry and Bender's apartment and they put on these like shitty cardboard Bender masks. It's like Cubert, Dwight, and Tinny Tim. And they put on these dumb masks and it totally fools Fry. Like he just isn't paying attention at all.
And he does it four times.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Bender, hey, Bender, hey, Bender. And then the phone rings and he's like, hey, Bender. So we go to the party. All these kids actually show up. They're pretty much the Orphanarium kids because those are the only other kids that are really in the show. And they're like, Zoidberg, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm networking. Here's my card. Yeah. It's a giant piece of cardboard that was ripped, not even cut. It just says Zoidberg squiggled on it in Sharpie. I love that.
He refers to it as networking.
Yeah. So the professor's like, we'll be the judge of who's cool or who's cool here. And so he basically has this coolometer that he uses. And goes across everyone. Some of the kids are kind of cool, It goes to Zoidberg and it falls flat. And then it goes over to Q-Bert and Dwight. He's like, my God, they're over 40 mega Fonzies.
And then the like a little thumbs up pops out of the coolometer. And then it goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. like the cartoon thumbs that are like a gloved mechanical hand.
Yeah. They're over 40 mega Fonzies.
Mega Fonzies. So Bender wakes up from his safe that he's in that says Bender's stuff.
Oh, right. And he gets out.
And he's like, wait, what was I just doing? What's going on? Like, well, you impressioned our kids so much that we're going – or that they stole all of your stuff. And he's like, I'm getting kids to commit crimes against me? I must be stopped.
So Bender joins Fathers Against Rue Television. Fart.
Yes, exactly. And they're making a joke about them being like fart, like that. That or the professor's like having a crass scene in and something on television is not a way to get a good cheap laugh. That's not what us farters are about. So dumb.
Did you notice Did you notice a familiar face who was in? I never noticed this before. Who was in Fart? The ant pizza guy from the
Cygnoids,
yeah.
Mr. Blob and Donbot are all in Fart. Are all farters?
Donbot's a farter.
Donbot's a farter. He's against Rude Television. He's. Are you kidding me? He's Catholic.
That's true.
He's Roman Catholic, baby.
That's very true.
So basically, Bender and the farters go and interrupt a scene. They fly all the way to New York, from New York to Hollywood, which I love that it takes 4 seconds because they just go up and down and it's so immediately quick. I was like, God, I can't handle transportations like that. That'd be amazing. So they interrupt the scene. The network execubots come out and the network head of the network has a gun.
But it's like mounted in a CD tray.
Yeah. It's mounted to me and it's plugged in with like a
USB cord or whatever.
Exactly, which I hate. I hate it when robots have to use like external technology and they don't like mesh with it or override it and use it themselves. But anyway, I guess it's more analog is what I'm saying. Okay, I'm done. anyways, so then the professor's like, uh-oh, our goose is cooked. And he's like, wait, I know how to solve this with more violence. And Hermes is like, where'd you learn that? And he's like, on that cool episode where Bender steals some police officer's gun.
Yeah, he's like, he holds someone hostage.
Yeah.
And then while they're distracted, Bender takes guns from both the farters and the exec. And he's like, he does like a little monologue. And at the end of it, he's basically trying to say like, it's the parents' fault. It's not TV's fault. And at the end of it, he's like, parents, have you ever tried sitting down with your, turning the TV off? Sitting down with your kids and hitting them.
Hitting them.
That's his solution to discipline.
We're just so busy. And everyone's like totally fine with it. So basically the episode wraps up where everything kind of gets back to normal. They all fly back to the Planet Express headquarters and Bender ends up deciding to stay off of television. And everyone kind of like – they just kind of put a bow on it towards the very end. I think there was something else I had written down at the very end part. Did you?
No. That's how it wraps up. So, yeah, overall, I think a great episode. There's a lot of good one-liners in it. Petey, how many
Hypnotoads?
Yeah, how many Hypnotoads would you give this out of 5?
I'll give this a solid 4 Hypnotoads.
Yes, I would agree.
I liked it. Good Zoidy. There's good quotes. There's Love the Network, Execubots. It will play in Peoria. And we do get technically correct, some space travel. It does look like they went out of the atmosphere.
That's true. Good point. I'll give this one a 4.25. I really It was Tickled. Nice. This had a lot of one-liners that when I was a kid I absolutely loved. 40 Mega Fonzies. That was so terrible. I think it gave me cancer. This is Petey's third LaCroix.
In like 40 minutes. Goddamn. In like 40 minutes. How many LaCroix I've had? Firstly, I started this one when I got home. And so I've had that one for probably like
45 minutes.
At least 3 minutes before. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I'd give this one a 4.25. Definitely a solid episode. And for a Bender-heavy episode, I think it's like very, very good. It's like pretty well balanced. Because we have the Qbert-Dwight B-line, B-plot.
Yes, a good B-plot finally. So we didn't have one last episode. And it was a good Bender episode, but they balanced it out well. Mm-hmm. Like everyone kind of got to talk except for really Amy. But she's, again, like I would consider her third tier, like way more ancillary.
Yeah.
All right. Did I go first in trivia last time or would you like me to go first?
You can go first.
There are two references to ham in this episode. Can you name them?
Absolutely not.
So Bender tells the kids at the very beginning, he's like, cram a ham in it, twerps, Calculon's on TV. And the second one is Calculon calling Bender or calling the director, which everyone shits all over the director. I love it. Yeah. He's like, I don't do two takes, you felonious ham.
It's like, this is the director. I've never learned his name.
yeah, exactly.
okay, so absolutely destroyed what, on that one.
I'll give you an easy, this is an easier one. What early 2000s, late 90s celebrity does Bender have a feud with? And when he becomes a celebrity.
I do not remember.
It's part of the montage. It's not just a sign. There's a little scene.
Okay, first of all, defensive. I was not going to say. I was watching this.
I'm trying to give you
context. I was watching this in a rush, so where it is. I may have skipped through some of the montage.
I'm going to be really nice and give you pretty much the answer to this.
You don't have to give me the answer. But I expect
the same kindness in return.
Jimmy Hatcher. Oh, that's right. Okay, I have Leno written down.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what a friend.
I wouldn't have just considered him a celebrity, though. I would consider him a talk show host.
So, if you saw him on the street, you would you recognize him from what he's done on television or on the big screen?
I would say he's a talk show.
I call that a celebrity.
I know, but a celebrity is
celebrities.
Celebrities go on talk shows.
I don't think there's a distinction. I think a celebrity is anyone who's famous.
Technically, like but I'm just saying celebrity is – that's what threw me off. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm just saying that's what threw me off because I don't think of him as a celebrity.
I'll allow it. I mean, I don't agree, but I will allow it this time. And then what is the name of the female fembot that Calculon is always with in All My Circuits. He's in the champagne bubble bath with her. Her name is referenced twice.
I was terrible at this. I didn't get anything on this episode.
Her name, you give up?
Yeah.
Her name is Monique, and she has a phenomenal line in this one where she's like, it's when they're doing like the montage of all the All My Circuit scenes. And she's like, oh, Calculon, this is the most wonderful party with large piles of what I assume is
is talcum powder.
Yes. Okay, last one. And this one's kind of a doozy. But there's a reference to Bender's understanding of animalian, human, and robot anatomy that occurred in the last episode. Where is it and what does Bender do?
Wait, what?
And I'll go a little bit further. Can you
say the question again? Say the question again.
There's a reference to Bender's understanding of animalian and human and robo anatomy.
Animalian? So just animals?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So think about that last episode where Bender was doing something with an animal.
Uh-huh.
And he's using the same device that he did last episode, but he's successful this episode.
Oh, he plugs something into his ass. He has like an outlet in his ass.
Yeah, which is totally incongruent last episode because he could have just plugged it into his own ass and made alcohol. Technically, that would be a perpetual. Actually, no, it wouldn't because there's outside fuel. But anyways.
He could have made those schnapps. Yes, and
he could have made those schnapps 100%. And I also love that because I didn't realize the joke. I've seen that joke a bunch of times and always laugh, but I didn't realize it's literally a butt plug.
I never thought of that either.
I never put those two together before. Yeah, those are mine. Okay. Ham and butt joke based.
I feel terrible. I did decent for me, but I feel like I did not get those at all.
It's okay. At the very beginning of the episode, I was like sweaty from the bus. So I was like, hey. We're not paying a lot of attention. So you might get me on a couple of these.
Okay. So at the beginning, Monique is talking to Calculon.
Damn, when I say that.
And she's like, I forget her line, but basically Calculon admits to being something. What is it?
Wait, she's Calculon like, admits to being, she admits like, to having amnesia?
She's like, Calculon, and he's like, that's right, I'm blank. It's like at the very beginning while they're watching All My Circus.
Your husband? Your brother, your cousin, is it like a relation?
It's or not a relation. I think in the normal context of a soap opera, it would be, but it's not.
Metric?
No.
You're a metric? AC/DC current?
No, I like where your head's at, but that's not where. I think nationality.
Jamaican?
No.
Oh, Canadian.
No.
I don't know.
It's in Africa.
Nigerian, Ugandan. In Africa? Egyptian.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now I remember that. Calculon, you're
Egyptian.
Yes. Egyptian. Yes,
Egyptian. And I love when she's talking, she goes, she's like holding a gun and she's pointing it at, I think, Antonio. And she's like, tell me the truth. Who am I? I don't remember. Because she has amnesia. The whole thing about explosive amnesia gets me every time.
Explosive bout of amnesia.
Okay. What does Fry say about Hypnotoad, the show?
It's gone downhill since season 3.
Yeah, nice.
I remember that one. Because I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, Hypnotoad no longer has a hold on humans. So that's like new canon.
Where had Calculon seen Bender before the audition? On TV specifically. Remember she asked,
have you
been on TV before?
He's like, you were good in that.
Yeah.
And it's something like criminal. Oh, when I took those hostages. Yeah, yeah.
You were good in that.
I saw that. You were good in that.
Okay, so we talked about Gamma Execubot. Who are the other two Execubots and what are their like shticks?
Oh, I was going to write this down. I didn't. Alpha Bot and Beta Bot. And Beta Bot is the audio numbers guy. Like he's like metrics and numbers.
It's numbers, but it's not that.
He's number. He's a. Should I start naming numbers? 7?
No.
12? 124?
Specifically random numbers. What's a good way to get a couple of random numbers? You would take a simple.
Oh, he rolls dice to get answers, and he's like, audiences will love it. And then Alphabot, she underestimates the middle America. He is a random number generator, and Alphabot is. Oh, he's programmed to agree and suck up.
Kind of.
He's like a sycophant.
Not really.
A yes man.
No, not really.
Can I have 50% credit if I give up?
Yes.
I'll take it.
Okay, so that's one half. So he's programmed to only like things he's seen before.
Oh, that's fuck. That's right. And he's like, oh, because his catchphrase is "Hey, hey, hey." I knew that. Damn it.
Okay, I think that's all I had. That's all I had. Great job, Petey. 3.5.
2.5 out of 6. That's got to be some number that's so high. I don't know what it is.
3.5 out of 5. Or I mean, 3.5 out of 4. I mean, sorry, 4.
And if I'm just doing mental math, 87.5%, right in the sweet spot, the exact number I always like to get on tests.
The sweet spot. Why not better than that?
Because that would mean I studied too hard and I wasn't working hard enough on my extracurriculars.
Oh, your extracurriculars? I don't know if you know this or not. Like, but... talking to used car salesmen?
Correct. And becoming gay.
Actually, fair. Totally
took
fair.
Took a lot of work, man. Totally fair. Took a lot of work. Well, shall we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up, guys. That is going to be it for us today. Thank you for listening. As always, we love you guys. And yes. You can find us online.
Stay tuned for the last episode of the season.
Oh, my glob.
And the original series, Season 5, Episode 16, The Devil's Hands Are Idle Playthings.
A great
which is actually,
episode.
I think, the longest one we have. Oh, no, it's not. No, you're right. I think this one was longer. This is going to be really high, really highly ranked. This was absolutely like 100% still with me from the first time I saw it.
Yes.
I love this one.
Agree, G. So you guys can find us online. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod. And mm-hmm. You can follow me on Threads for updates, although I'm so sorry, at the most chill pro.
Something we're working on.
Look, I've been busy. But we, just I listening, know. Guys, is we love that all the same. So thank you guys so much for listening and supporting, and we will catch you next week for our season final episode. Petey, do you have a couple words you'd like to say to take us out?
We'll love you forever. We'll love you for always. As long as you're listening, our friend you'll be. Now, take us out, Kalki. We love you, and you were so great in this episode, Calculon. You love ham, vamp, vamp, vamp.
I'm really trying to find
the button.
I'm trying to find it, I swear to God.
Wait, let me just throw in a...
That was the wrong one, but... Where is it? I've looked up and down like 3 times.
Thanks, Dave.
Who's that singing at your wedding? It's Calculon, Calculon, Calculon.
Bye.
Bye.